International.org.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, the home team will help you enjoy more togetherness and cooperation in your household. Call in 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Hey there, everybody. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, and I am Dr. Greg Popchak.
I am Lisa Popchak.
You know, folks, there is so much more to life than most people realize. We want to help you celebrate the life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. And we are talking with you today about the home team. You know, this past weekend, there were a lot of homecoming games. This next weekend, more homecoming games.
Massive amounts of homecoming games. Franciscan University is having their homecoming very, very soon, hoping to see some of you all there.
But, we've just kind of got me thinking a little bit about the whole sports metaphor here and thinking about family life in light of, you know, the what it's like to be a team. And, you know, coming at the whole perspective of family from the point of view of the theology of the body, we remember that family life is supposed to be an icon of the Trinity. And that sounds really heady, and of course it is. But there are practical implications of that, too. You know, there's a famous painting, an icon, by Rublev, the artist, where the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are looking at each other, and they're all bowing toward each other at the same time as a sign of mutual love and service. And one way the family can be a sign of that kind of mutual love and self-donation is by cultivating a true sense of team-spiritedness, you know, which involves two things, I think. First of all, having a strong sense of togetherness combined with an equally strong sense of cooperation. And that's what we want to talk about on today's show. How can everybody in your household pull together better, take better care of each other, attend more closely to each other, work better with each other, and in general, be the home team that you want your family to be? We're asking you to call in response to the question, you know, what are those things that you would like to work better together at as a family? You know, what are the things that, you know, those times maybe that you feel like you're doing all the work, right? And your kids aren't doing nearly enough. You can't get them to do their chores. You get a lot of bad attitude from them and dirty looks whenever you ask them to do the littlest thing.
Or it's that spouse who's not agreeing with you on things. It's making life tougher for you. Perhaps it's on topics of church teaching or how to raise the kids, or they're just not stepping up to the plate with everything that needs to be done. You know, Greg, I love your sports metaphor. And the thing is that, you know, we're heavily into the beginning of football season here. I am sort of a huge football nut, and I've got a couple of favorite teams, our own home Steelers. I also love the Carolina Panthers. There's teams that I really follow more than others, because if I followed all of them, my family would disown me. But when we have a player that goes down, for whatever reason, either there's an injury that happens and they can't play that week, you know, the whole team starts to hurt. It kind of lists to one side. It doesn't have it all together. Other players often have to come in and kind of carry the weight of that. Or in some cases, it's that, you know, somebody's doing something that's grandstanding, and it's all about them, and they get off the team spirit of everything, and it throws off the team. The same is true in family life. If we've got particular kids who are sucking up all of our energy with their drama, and the whole rest of the family starts to fall by the wayside. If mom and dad are scrambling because things aren't going well between the two of them, the rest of the team is hurting. Whatever these little things are, even sometimes if it's somebody from that support team who's not pulling their weight, you know, the grandparents or
right,
somebody out there who's undermining your family in some way, this can make it a lot tougher to be. Now, here's where the team spirit goes to the theology of the body. Not just a team, but a community of love. We are not called to be just a bunch of individuals living under one roof. We're called by the church to be a community of love. And if your family life just doesn't seem to be falling in line with that, give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825, and we will help you get back on your game.
Once again, the question, in what situations would you like the people in your household to get along better or work together better? What issues are dividing your home team? 877-573-7825. You can also post your comments at our Facebook page at facebook.com/more2liferadio. Don't forget to like the page so you get regular updates, resources, and articles on how you can live a more joyful and abundant life. But right now, call us at 877-573-7825 with all the things that are getting in the way of your family being the home team it's meant to be. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. Then we'll be joined in just a moment by Dr. Joseph White, who's going to share one great idea for bringing your family closer together. Plus, we'll be sharing three more to life hacks with you for cultivating togetherness and cooperating, togetherness and cooperation that makes your family the winning team it's meant to be. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for calling families to be icons of the Trinity, for calling families to be a sign of your love and service in the world. But Lord, it's a tall order, and we ask you to help us to truly be there for each other, to cooperate well with each other, to work together well, to really care for each other as we are meant to, so that we can experience your love in our homes and be a sign of that love in the world. We bring all of the issues that divide us, all of the things that cause us to trip up, all of the things that cause families to be at each other's throats. We ask you, Lord, to bring peace, to bring a spirit of cooperation, to bring your spirit of love and grace into our homes so that we can be those communities of love that we are meant to be and show the world the difference that your children, that Christian families, can live out so that all the world may be drawn to you through the example that we share in our homes. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We are talking with you today about the home team. What are those situations that are causing you and your spouse and kids to not be on the same page with regard to chores or other issues that you just aren't working well together? And there's conflict, there's tension. We want to help resolve that so that you can experience the peace, the togetherness, and the cooperation all the members of your household are meant to experience through God's grace and love. Give us a call. We'll help you overcome those obstacles at 877-573-7825. Joining us right now to get things started, Dr. Joseph White. He's a family psychologist, a master catechist, catechetical consultant to Our Sunday Visitor Publications, and author of the terrific book, The Catholic Parents Toolbox. And Dr. Joseph White is here today to tell us about one simple way families can draw closer together. Dr. White, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you with us. And this is this suggestion that you have, I think, is, you know, one that we've all heard, but you never get tired of needing to repeat it and getting a reminder about it. So tell us what it is that we need to do as families to draw a little closer together and work better with each other.
Well, it's to have a meal together. You know, meals bring people together and they nurture relationships. And I think this is something that we know instinctively, and yet in our society we seem to be moving further and further away from having regular family meals.
Well, that's for sure. It seems to me that, you know, with activities and everything that goes on, people having to work late constantly, it's a wonder if families have a family meal together at all. Most of it's, you know, rushing through a drive-through window on the way to the next activity, or maybe having a meal at home, but everybody's on their own devices or doing different things in different rooms because they're trying to gobble stuff down. It's no longer about being together. It's just sort of about getting our stomachs full. So what are a mom and dad to do with a family that doesn't even think that having a family meal together is important anymore?
Well, I think the first thing to do is really take a hard look at what we know about what family meals do. You know, Columbia University does a study every few years on the family meal because they are also concerned about the trend in our society away from this, because research shows that families who eat together regularly versus families that have, so they're defining that as 5 to 7 times per week versus 2 or fewer meals together per week. When you look at the differences between those families, we see children and teens that have lower levels of tension and stress at home, are happier and have better peer relationships, get better grades in school, are more likely to confide in their parents, have healthier eating habits, lower risk of suicide, and a much lower risk of substance abuse. And the list goes on and on. So many things that parents are concerned about, including, you know, the topic of your show today, bringing families together and nurturing that relationship. And so it's so important when we look at all of those things that are correlated with regular meals that we really begin to set the priority. You know, we're not always going to find time to get together as a family. We're going to have to make time. We're going to have to make that time sacred.
I think you're absolutely right. Just having it suddenly appear, as most families think it will, it just doesn't happen. You know, most moms are so busy, or dads even are so busy, that they don't get to do a full week's grocery shopping. They just run in on the way home from work and throw down whatever they can throw down when the family does manage to forage for food at some point. And that's what it's really become. And, of course, we saw this, and we often see joking, like, TV commentary about how this started with the advent of TV, where people were no longer sitting at the table together. They were just sitting in front of TV trays with TV dinners and watching a TV show together. And people almost long for that now, where everybody was at least watching the same thing. So give us some pointers as moms and dads. If we want to change this around today, give us, you know, step 1, 2, 3, and 4 here. What should we start doing right now to change this up in our family life?
Well, I think one thing that you can do, like I said, make time, you know, just block it out, make it sacred.
Involve and let everybody know about it, right? Because if mom's the only one making time and saying, well, we'll all have dinner at 7 o'clock, but if we don't tell anybody, nobody's going to be
right
there.
You've got to build the, it's important enough to build the schedule around that. I know many families have built the schedule around extracurricular activities and things like that. But when we look at all the things that family meals do versus the things that those extracurricular activities do, really, honestly, it's time for us to take a look at the priority here. But secondly, I think it involves multiple family members in preparing the meals so that there's a little more investment in that meal time. You know, if the kids have had an opportunity to cook a part of that meal or to be involved in the preparation, then they're more invested in everybody sitting down and eating together as well, because they want to see if everybody likes what they made and things like that as well. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. I was going to ask you. So what about the idea of working together to make a meal?
Yeah, I think working together to plan that and then making the meal together really increases the investment of everybody in the family, and also increases the family time, you know, that the time that everybody's spending together, because then you have some time on the front end as well. Of course, it's nice to work together on cleaning up afterwards as well. that's kind of a harder sell sometimes. So sometimes you have to schedule out the short chart for that.
Dr. Joseph, I think you're absolutely right on that. You know, saying just making the cleanup a chore sort of adds to the family not wanting to do this family meal. But if we say, hey, everybody's bringing their own dish to the sink, you know, I'll do the washing, you do the drying, you do the wiping of the table, you do the, you know, Swiffering under the table, and we're all going to put on some music and dance while we do this, you know, or we're all going to, you know, everybody has to come with a joke. Make that cleanup time a family event. You can scatter for chores for other things later on, but keep that as part of what's making this a together moment for the family.
I think that can be great, Lisa, and, you know, it also makes everything go faster when everybody's working together.
True.
And it shows how we can tackle some big things together as a family and really get things done.
We've only got about a minute here, but I hit the third point that you wanted to make, which is that mealtime is a great time for family prayer as well, which is something that families really struggle with making happen in their lives.
Yeah, so while we're blocking this time off and making it a priority, we can't ignore the connection between meals and spirituality in our Catholic faith. Of course, a meal is at the very center of our Catholic worship. It was at the center of Jesus' ministry. So bringing in prayer into this family meal is very natural. And I think one simple way we can do that is just go around the table and tell one thing that we're thankful for today and then thank God together for the food. I think it's also a great way to remember the good things in our life and, you know, really thank God for our blessings.
Some really important ideas, you know, getting back to the basics so that we can remember how to stay together in these busy, crazy times. For folks who'd like to learn more about your good work, Dr. Joseph White, where can they turn for more information?
They can go to sharingcatholicfaith.com.
Sharingcatholicfaith.com to learn more about how you can be a closer family and pick up a copy of The Catholic Parents Toolbox by Dr. Joseph White. Thanks again for being with us, sir.
Thank you.
All right, we are asking you, what are those things that get in the way of you being the home team you'd like to be? Those disagreements that you have with your spouse or kids, those chores that you argue about, those times that you wish that you could work better together or take better care of each other, but for whatever reason it's just not clicking. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825, and we will help you get on the same side and be the team your family is meant to be. In addition to taking your calls when we come back, we'll also be sharing with you three more to life hacks. We'll be talking about how to have a game plan for greater togetherness and cooperation. We'll talk about how to catch each other being good, and finally how to celebrate your successes in ways that leads to even more successes. Stick around for all that and a lot more coming up on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 about the stuff getting in the way of you being the team you're meant to be, and we'll help you get on the same page when we come back after these messages.
Food for the Journey, Sister Ann Shields, on the struggles of compromising that leads to a failure of growing with the Lord.
Brothers and sisters, you really can make decisions that bring clarity. Don't just live with the status quo. Don't just say, well, this is the kind of person I am. These are my strengths, these are my weaknesses. It's fine to say that. But so many of us, I think, feel like, well, this is the way I've always been, or this is my personality, or whatever. To excuse ourselves from confronting, am I really following the Lord, or do I have my feet in two different camps, the world and God, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of the earth? Do I have my two feet in one place, or am I straddling? And if I'm straddling, you're always going to compromise. You're always going to try to find a way through that salves your conscience, but in fact you're trying to serve two masters. And it won't work. So I want to urge you to take a look. Don't just listen to these readings and say, oh, I should think about this sometime. Think about it today.
Sister Ann Shields gives you food for the journey, weekday mornings at 6:45 and again at 11:30 on 990 Ave Maria Radio. Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor, by Father Jack Quinlan
Interim Executive Director of Hope Clinic International, a faith-based ministry serving needy children in Nicaragua. Let us join St. Francis on this, his feast day, to experience that it is in giving that we receive. For information, go to hopeclinicinternational.org.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled The Home Team, as we are helping you enjoy more togetherness and cooperation in your household. Call in with those things that are stopping you from being on the same page, being the same team, being the team that you're meant to be. You know, those arguments that you guys have that divide you as husband and wife or parents and kids, those chores you can't just seem to get the kids to do no matter what, those situations where you can't get it all together to get out the door to Mass, for example, or those other to school in the morning, whatever it is. You know, in this homecoming season, we're talking a lot about sports. It's football season. We thought it would be a great idea to talk a little bit about what it would take to be a better team as a family, to stop the fussing, stop the fighting, stop the competition, and actually start working together like you're meant to. So let's talk it out at 877-573-7825.
You know, I love that idea, Greg, because you really did point out something that's super important about all this, which is, we can either be on the same team as a family. And, you know, if you're into any activity in your own life, that's a beautiful thing. When everybody's rooting together for, you know, that particular team, or if you're into the arts, that particular, you know, star that you're going to a concert about, or whatever it is, that's a really good feeling. What's not a great feeling is when you end up tangling with those people on the opposing team, you know, before if you bump into, you know, that visiting team and you're scrambling at each other, you're fighting with each other. You don't want that under your own roof, you know? You don't want that opposing team to be those people in your life. You don't want your spouse working against you for what you want in your family life. You don't want to be tangling with those kids that you're hoping to be raising for God, and instead they're fighting with you about everything, from homework to chores to your moral code, or they're fighting with each other and it's driving you nuts. If those things are stealing your team spirit, are keeping you from being that community of love that you want to be, give us a call today and we'll help you make it better at 877-573-7825. You know, Greg, we got a message from a woman named Roma, who's listening in Michigan to EWTN Radio on the Ave Maria app. And she said, "We are very divided in our family between boy stuff and girl stuff. The boys, three of them, will not play with the girls, two of them. This makes our time together full of arguments. Words like, 'I'm not doing that. What do you think I am, a girl?' I get so tired of the arguments, and it makes family activities together really, really hard. We try to attend each of the activities, but while the girls will go to the boys' games, the boys will whine and drive us all crazy about going once a year to the girls' dance recitals, or having to sit with me in the dance studio waiting room on the rare occasion that they have to come. I get that they want to be masculine men, but this is dividing our family, and it's driving me nuts. What can I do about it?" And that was Roma in Michigan.
Roma, what a great question. And, you know, I can hear a lot of listeners in my head anyway. I hear a lot of listeners saying, well, that's just boys, right? And,
yeah.
You know, looking at this from the perspective of the theology of the body, this is a great question and potentially a missed opportunity for a lot of families who might otherwise say, well, that's just the way boys are.
And I have to say, right now, especially, I think that there are some families who don't want to challenge that idea because they're grateful that they're raising Christian men who have a sense of masculinity and manhood. And they're afraid, especially in this particular social environment to undercut that idea of strong masculinity in any way. So they're a little trepidatious about even taking this on.
Well, but here's the thing, right? From a perspective of the theology of the body, you are masculine or feminine, not so much because of the things you like to do and the preferences you have, because of the body that you gave, that God gave you, and because of your capacity to serve others and to be generous to others. Now, there's nothing wrong with boys liking boy things and doing boy things. I'm not saying
no, not at all.
And I'm encouraging parents in letting your kids do what they want to do. That's great. But when it comes to actually brothers and sisters interacting with each other, it's actually contrary to this Catholic vision of masculinity and femininity to just say, ooh, I'm not going to do that because it's girl stuff, or ooh, I'm not going to do that because it's boy stuff. It's that really cuts at the heart of the generosity that lies at the center of family life. And so what you want to really be able to do here, Roma, is say to your kids, you know what, it's really good that you like the things that you like. It's wonderful that you like these things, and they're very, you know, good, positive, healthy things that you're doing. And the things that your brothers or the things that your sisters like are good and wonderful too. And we have to learn from each other. And we serve each other. And to be a real man is to be a servant, and is to be generous, and is to be loving, and is to be supportive. And
just as much as it is to be, you know, a strong leader and all that but the servant leader in you, son, knows enough about who you are as a strong man to be able to then go out and support other people, no matter what their interests are. And if they fuss at you, say, you know what? This is not just a skill right now to support mom, to support your sisters in what they find true, good, and beautiful. This is a skill you're going to need to grow up with so that you can be truly present to your future wife, truly present to your future kids, no matter what their interests are.
Or to be generous to anybody who has a different point of view than you do.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, being able to step out of yourself and see things. Now, what do you do about it? Well, what you need to do is, if they give you that attitude, okay, you know what, honey, I love you, and I know that this isn't your favorite thing, but that's not the question. The question is, how are you going to be supportive? How are you going to be loving? So please go over there, get yourself calmed down, and don't come out until you're ready to be polite about this. Mm-hmm. So you use that cool-down time to give them the opportunity to step away and to get the time they need to pull themselves together, and you're giving them the expectation that when they come out, they're going to have a positive attitude about this. They're going to be supportive. They're going to be pleasant. They're going to be respectful. Or they're going to park themselves back in there and sit until they can figure it out. Because to be part of a family means to be supporting each other's interests, supporting each other's goals, supporting each other's passions, and working together to be that family team. And if your kids aren't doing that, then they're not really being the men they're called to be. And there's nothing wrong with moms and dads stepping in and saying, you know what, being a real man is about serving and loving and being generous. You can like the things you like, do the things you love to do. That's awesome. But you support the people around you, because that's what a real man does. We're going to head to a break right now, but we're taking your calls about the things that get in the way of your family team. What are those arguments you guys have, those chores that you just can't get everybody on the same page about, those other situations where you're not working together as the team you're meant to be? Give us a call, 877-573-7825. Back with more Mortal Life after this.
When a kid loses a tooth, it's exciting. But an adult has some serious decisions that needs a caring, faithful, and family-oriented dentist like Dr. Maddie with Advanced Dentistry Center. Here's what Dr. Maddie says to those that are deciding between bridges and implants.
While bridges only last 8 to 10 years and damage adjacent teeth, implants last up to 30 years and help prevent bone loss. Plus, they look more natural.
Extremely natural, with Dr. Maddie, who practices the art of dentistry at Advanced Dentistry Center. Conveniently located at 13 Mile and Telegraph, make the decision to call 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Mention Ave Maria and receive 10% off dental implants. Be comfortable knowing that Advanced Dentistry Center's goal is to provide you with the most up-to-date treatments to help you look and feel your best. That's 248-594-9592.
When man stops believing in God, he'll believe in anything. Torchbearer follows the Duck Commander Phil Robertson as he argues the absurdity of life without God.
Human civilization's best chance of survival is to anchor itself in the God of creation. God created man and woman in his image. We are image bearers of God.
Torchbearer. This film is not yet rated. In select theaters October 7th. More information is available at torchbearermovie.com.
Light of the East. Weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, we are going to throw our hat in the ring of the presidential race and on the platform of the Eastern Lung of the Church provide real solutions for our nation.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Lisa Popcheck. Arguments about money are well known as one of the leading causes of divorce, but these arguments actually have very little to do with financial know-how. Rather, it's about the goals you and your spouse have for your finances and how you feel your money should be used. Here are four steps to managing money problems in your marriage. Step one, examine your conscience. Do your ideas about money line up with what the church teaches about money? Step two, pray about your finances together. Letting God enter into your financial decisions helps couples to act as a team instead of two opposing forces. Step three, use your problem-solving tools. Resolve to take care of your spouse through your money decisions, but use numbers to make decisions, not feelings. And step four, get professional help. You need access to right knowledge to make a sound financial decision for your family's future. See, talking about money doesn't have to be a negative experience. For more marriage guidance, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And today on More to Life, the home team. You know, it's football season, homecoming games happening last weekend, this coming weekend. And we thought we'd take some time to really talk about what it means to be the team your family is meant to be. And in particular, to overcome the obstacles that stand in the way of having that sense of team spirit. You know, if you're struggling because you and your spouse are having those disagreements and you can't get on the same page and have a good game plan, if you and your kids are at war with each other about certain chores or certain rules or principles or beliefs, if you just as a team can't get out the door for mass or school or whatever it is, we want to help you guys work better together. So let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Before we take our next question, I wanted to share our first More to Life hack for cultivating greater togetherness and cooperation in your family. And that's number one, have a game plan. Communicate your expectations clearly. You know, if you aren't happy with the way you guys are all working together, don't just address it on the fly in the middle of the problem. Have a team meeting. Take 5 to 10 minutes, maybe over dinner or some other time when everybody's together, to talk about, number one, what you need specifically from each other, number two, what you're going to do to make everybody accountable to follow through on it, and number three, how making that change is going to benefit the whole family. So there's some actual motivation and get a buy-in from everybody.
Yeah,
right?
It's not just, you know, you're doing it because I said so because I'm your parent. It's really, you know, an investment on everybody's part.
You know, don't lecture. You know, be clear, succinct, and encouraging, just like a regular coach would on a sports team. You know, being a family team takes work, but the work should create a greater sense of closeness, cooperation, heck, even fun, right? So have that game plan, and you'll be able to cultivate the closeness and cooperation that any good team will have. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. What are those disagreements, those discipline problems, those other challenges that are stopping you from being the family team that you're meant to be? 877-573-7825. Let us help you get on the same side.
You know, Greg, I think that this is so important to talk about today, though, because a lot of people, I'm sure, you know, here we are, you know, in the middle of the week, and people are thinking, goodness gracious, don't give me more to do. Or, yeah, I'll try to get to that next week, or whatever that is. But as Dr. Joseph White was talking about earlier, when he was talking about the importance of having family meals together, this idea of, you know, having a game plan, working together, really is not that lot of work to do compared to the work that needs to be done if it's not done. So as he was saying, you know, just having family mealtime together cuts back on promiscuity, drug use, depression, anxiety issues, all sorts of issues. And that's not just for our kids. You know, as parents, we're desperately trying to make sure our kids don't fall into those worldly things and those difficult things. But as parents, when we don't do this kind of stuff, we feel depressed. We feel anxiety-ridden. We feel disempowered. So doing what you're saying here, having that game plan, spending that time, getting everybody to buy in, is hugely important to our own mental health and well-being and our spiritual well-being, as well as all the members of the family. If you're struggling with that today, you just don't feel up to doing all of this, or you just don't even know where to start. There are too many things to take on. They're sort of tearing your team apart. We're here for you at 877-573-7825. You know, Greg, I've got to give major props to one of our listeners who seems to really be doing it right. This is Sarah, who on Facebook today said, "My youngest brother is 5 years older than my oldest son."
I feel like there's a math problem. I'm already confused, Sarah.
I feel like there's going to be trains and algebra involved.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, no, her youngest brother is 5 years older than my oldest son. Our families blend together. It's like having kids, and it's like my kids have big siblings. I help out with my brother's homeschooling, and my mom helps me catch up on chores. Those are the only big things. There are millions of little ways that we work together. Our schedules involve each other all day long." And she says, "I love my family." And she puts a big heart there.
Oh, good for you, Sarah. That's fantastic.
I love the fact that Sarah posted this to say, you know what? This can be done. Not only is she working together with her spouse and her kids, but they're doing this multi-generationally. This really can be done. So there's great hope here. Now, Teresa on Facebook goes on to say, though, she said, "My youngest, a girl, has completely rejected our Catholic faith and pro-life stance. She's 16. I'm devastated. She's been an atheist since she was 10 years old, and I don't know for how long she's been pro-abortion," she goes on to say. And that's Teresa on Facebook. So here we've got a kid who from a very early age said, "What you guys believe in, I'm not taking on." And now it's spiraling into, you know, something that involves
great. Teresa, if saying that you have a 10-year-old, you know, who's an atheist, you know, that's not an intellectual decision. That's an emotional decision. That's a relational decision. What that is a way that a kid says to mom, "I don't like you very much anymore."
Which is very hard to hear. That's a wound to hear you say that to a parent, that's what that means. At the very least, it's saying, "I don't like you," or "I'm mad at you for something, and I'm not feeling one with you, so I can't take on what you're telling me to believe." It's also saying, "You're not helping me to have a personal working knowledge of God. Something's happened to make me mad at him or at you or at both of you. Help me."
Yeah,
so
I mean,
those
usually,
kinds of statements from a young person, especially that young,
yeah, usually
are
it's a twofold thing.
Help.
Usually it's a twofold thing, and you alluded to both of them. Mm-hmm. One, it's that the child hasn't had a personal experience where God feels real to them for whatever reason. That we've taken them to church, that we've maybe talked about things, maybe we've even said prayers in the household, but we haven't actually brought our kids to God in a personal and meaningful way. And they haven't met him. You know, if Stephen Hawking wrote a book denying the existence of my mother, I wouldn't need a degree in physics to know that Stephen Hawking was an idiot, right?
Because you've had experience
of
your mother.
I know
she's
her.
There, you know her, and you can point to all the things you've done together.
And the same thing with our kids and God. If our kids have a personal experience of God where they know him to be real and working in their lives, they don't deny his existence, right? So that's number one. You need to find a way to give her that experience.
And right? I have to say, this doesn't have to be... a cataclysmic thing. Now, since she's really started to identify herself in this way, it may need to be a bigger experience. And I know a lot of parents have had a lot of success involving other things. But to have this daily experience of God kind of thing, this can be, for all the other parents of younger kids out there, even pointing out during the day, hey, you know, God did this for me today. You know, I was really worried about not getting to this appointment on time, and these things happened, and I got there. Or this is what I experienced in my own prayer time, we talk about as parents. So helping them identify the small ways every day that God is present and real and existent for you, and asking them leading questions to help them find that for themselves, is an important way to guard against this.
The
idea.
Second reason that the kids this age will often find, you know, be so oppositional to faith issues is because they often experience faith as just a bunch of rules.
Absolutely.
That says that they can't do this, and they can't do the other thing, and they can't be with their friends because of this, and they can't watch the other thing. And when our kids' primary experience of faith is a bunch of do-nots and can'ts and thou shalt nots, then they become rebellious, and they reject the faith because they feel like it's a big obstacle to them getting their needs met. And so being able to use a more positive approach to discipline, where you're actually using the technique we talk about in Parenting with Grace called a qualified yes technique, where you're saying to your kids, well, look, I would like you to be able to do that or have that, but here's what I need to see from you first. And here, let me help you develop those qualities or skills or abilities that would let me know that it was safe for you to have that new responsibility or that new thing or new opportunity or whatever it is. We walk you through the steps of that in Parenting with Grace, but I'll tell you what. I think that you need to pick up a copy of that book, but also Discovering God Together, A Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids, which is going to get right to the heart and help you see what's going on in your relationship with your daughter. But you're not going to be able to address the faith issue until you address the relationship issue, which I believe is really causing this problem. And to that
end, the relationship between mom and daughter here,
yeah.
And also a little bit between daughter and God. There's something here that's blocking.
But it starts with the birth relationship.
It has to be between her and the mother.
There's anger there that your daughter has toward you that's not being addressed, and you need to see it for what it is and address it for what it is. And if you're not able to do that on your own, using some of the suggestions that we've made here today on the program or the books that we're recommending to you, then I encourage you to get in touch with us through the Pastoral Solutions Institute. And you can learn more about our telephone counseling practice and other resources at moretoliferadio.com. That's with the number 2, moretoliferadio.com. And we hope to hear from you there. But this is a painful situation, but it's certainly
very
workable.
Very scary and painful.
Very
yeah.
workable, and we'd be happy to work you through this. And that goes for you listeners as well. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. You're listening to More to Life. We're Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. And today's show is titled The Home Team, as we're helping you get on the same side here and enjoy more togetherness and cooperation in your household. What are those issues, those situations, those discipline arguments, those other topics that divide your household? We want to help you create greater peace, togetherness, and cooperation. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. As we head out to our next break, I want to share with you our second More to Life hack, which is catch each other being good.
Well, and this goes a lot to the importance of this, as we were just talking about with Teresa, because if you don't have that positivity, you can't get everybody on the same team. A good coach knows that team members thrive on encouragement, not criticism. If you want that player to bring their best game and all of their energy, you've got to rev them up and encourage them. Being mindful of the good things that your spouse and kids do. You don't have to have a parade every time someone picks up after him or herself or does something thoughtful. But a simple, hey, nice job, or thanks for doing that. You know, it really meant a lot to me. I appreciate it. That was really thoughtful of you. That goes a long way to encouraging greater effort. Family members work harder to please each other when they know that the other can be pleased. Practice positive motivation and encourage that generosity.
Just the more you can catch each other being good, the more you are actually rewarding the cooperation that's already there and building on the successes that you've achieved.
If you focus on the negative, they think you can never be pleased, and they just kind of give up and feel helpless about it and get angry.
What are those topics that divide your family, those situations where you wish you all would work a little better together or could at least see eye to eye more than you do? We're helping you get over those things that divide your household and cause tension in your home. 877-573-7825. Call in with your questions. Again, that number, 877-573-7825, or post your comments at facebook.com/more2liferadio. We'll be back with more great ideas for getting on the same page and enjoying more togetherness and cooperation in your family team when More to Life returns after the break.
Regina Chaley Academy, a homeschool hybrid in the classic Catholic tradition, invites you to its annual Fabulous Fathers Priest Talent Show on October 14th. Feature performances from favorite local priests, and includes dinner, drinks, and more at the Ukrainian Cultural Center in Warren. That's Friday, October 14th. Support Regina Chaley Academy and the priesthood. Tickets are $55. Visit rcahybrid.org. That's rcahybrid.org.
As I sat in a client meeting, I saw smirks and eye rolls. It was apparent there was an inside joke going on, and I was not in on it. In fact, I was the butt of it. It was not the first time I was hired to help an organization create and execute a communication plan, and some people on the inside felt threatened. We cannot control the behavior of others, but we can control how we react. As a striving Christ-centered communicator, I thought, well, what would Jesus say? Although not always easy, I smile even when people are being rude. I greet each person with respect. I'm professional and kind. Those times where I have felt truly disrespected, I've done what Scripture has called us to do and confront that person privately. I continue to treat people the way I want to be treated. And you know what happened? They reciprocated. Because kindness is contagious. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communication evangelist.
Hi, this is Sally Cresta. My husband Al and I have sent our children to Spiritus Sanctus Academies for over 15 years. One of our sons is a graduate and teaches there. We were drawn by the truth and beauty of the Dominican tradition, educating the whole child, spiritual, physical, intellectual, and social. Come and see the schools where the program Education and Virtue originated.
If you miss the open house, call to make arrangements for a tour at either of our locations. Visit us at spiritusanctus.org for further information.
Welcome back. You are listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Today's show is titled The Home Team. We're in football season. Lots of homecoming games happening last weekend, this coming weekend, and the weeks ahead. And we thought we'd take some time to look at what are the things that stop your family life from being the team you guys are meant to be. You know, every family has to cultivate that sense of togetherness and cooperation that lets you work well together. But, you know, lots of different things get in the way. Certain topics you don't see eye to eye on, chores you can't get everybody on the same page about, disagreements between you and your spouse, discipline issues, whatever it is that is causing tension in your household and stopping you and your kids or your spouse from getting along as well as they could or working together as well as they should, we want to help you overcome those obstacles. Give us a call right here and now at 877-573-7825.
Maybe you're just getting really tired of always having to be the coach and do all the work, and you're just thinking you want to sell the whole team to the highest bidder. We're here to help you get over that and get your enthusiasm back and get the whole team winning again. 877-573-7825. 573-7825. You know, Greg, Jenna in Texas, listening to EWTN Radio on the Guadalupe Radio Network, says, I would love to get my whole family on the same page with prayer. I want so much to start praying as a family, but they all, especially my husband and my two sons, who are 9 and 12, groan and fuss like I'm forcing them to have root canal, she says. They do come to Mass on Sunday, and on Sundays, my husband will say grace when we have Sunday dinner. Yeah. I guess he feels Sunday's an extra special day. But the rest of the week, it's a struggle. And I'm tired of being the only one pulling the plow. How can I get them to pray together without all the complaining? And that's, Jenna.
Jenna.
Guadalupe Radio Network.
Thank you so much for the question. I know it's a question that's on a lot of listeners' hearts, and I appreciate you taking the time to ask it. First thing I want to say is that when we are having these sort of difficulties or differences of opinion when it comes to faith and how we approach faith, a lot of spouses feel really shy about bringing that issue up because you feel like, well, I can't make them believe in God. I can't make them want to pray. And no, you can't change somebody's heart that way. But what you can do is insist that as a simple matter of respect that everybody in the family work together on this, that you and your husband, you know, to respect somebody, as we say on the show all the time, doesn't just mean that you're nice to each other or polite to each other. It means that you try to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty in all the things your friend finds true, good, and beautiful. And, you know, even if your husband isn't on the same page as you spiritually, to respect you is to join you in this attempt to raise your kids in the faith, to at least maintain a respectful, prayerful silence while you lead family prayer, if he won't join you in that. I mean, if he's willing to do grace on Sundays, there's no reason he wouldn't be willing to do grace any other day, except that he just doesn't want to, which isn't respectful, and it's childish. And that's the bigger issue. I've never seen a case where this has been a problem, and this respect issue has not been a problem across the relationship, where any time husbands and wives don't see eye to eye on any other issue where it doesn't break down just like this, with the spouse who's behaving like your husband is, you know, pouting and withdrawing about these other things too, whether that's, you know, certain rules or other preferences, that things that you like to do or issues with your family, that when you don't see eye to eye, it breaks down like this. So that's the deeper issue that I want you to take a look at, because like I said, I have never actually encountered a time where I've seen this dynamic and it hasn't played out in other areas besides spiritual.
You know, Craig, and I think it's interesting that he's willing to do this at a Sunday meal. You know, there's something about that moment that I really encourage Jenna to take a look at, because he's getting something from that. Is he feeling more respected when the whole family is sitting down for a meal like a Sunday meal, where he feels like, okay, now I can be head of the family, I can lead this? Is he feeling more connected to God because he's had that time in Mass? Look for the difference there that makes the difference, so that you can start to bring that in to other areas of your life. Is he getting the respect he deserves at other times with your kids? Are you all connecting around other family meals, or is the only time you sit down together as a family on Sunday, so that makes it more special? Both looking at the respect issue there and what you're doing to create relationship between each other and with God in those simple ways throughout the week are both very important to look at in this situation.
Now, the other piece of this, though, I'm going to give you similar advice that I did to Roma earlier in the program, who said that her sons and her daughters weren't getting along because
That's
they didn't
right.
like the
yeah.
same thing. You know, and any time that she would try to get the boys to, you know, support the sisters and whatever they were doing, go to a dance recital or whatever, she'd have to put up with all kind of whining and complaining about it. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same sort of thing here. You know, your boys, you know, they have an obligation as part of your family to support and be respectful of the things that you want to do in the family. And if they are not able to get themselves to the place where they can be quiet and respectful and participate in family prayer and the other activities that you're asking them to do, then they are out of control. Now, when they say out of control, you know, a lot of parents say, well, they're not bouncing off the walls, they're not throwing
right.
things.
Yeah,
not,
exactly.
No, a child is out of control when he cannot listen to his mother or father. Because the natural state of children...
There's no sense of obedience.
The natural, healthy yeah. state of children is obedience and listening. And if your kids aren't being obedient and they aren't listening, they're out of control. And so they need to calm down and get back into control, which means that it's okay to say, when it, guys, you're going to have that attitude, you can sit over here and you don't eat dinner, you don't get on with the rest of your life, until you pull yourself together and you can be part of this family and join in our family prayer and take part in this with an appropriate attitude. But I'm not putting up with the nonsense. I'm not putting up with the complaining. I'm not putting up with the bad attitude. Nobody sits at this table and enjoys my food with that kind of an attitude. So it's okay for you to insist that everybody bring themselves and their best face to whatever it is that you're asking them to do.
You know, and I have to say, Greg, that there have been times even in our family when the kids were younger and we were really forming this idea that we would give them practice at this. So, yeah, you gave us a hard time about doing this particular thing that your brother or sister wanted to do. You know, go do this calm down thing that Greg was just talking about. Then when you get back, okay, for the rest of the day, you're going to play everything that your brother or sister wanted to play because you gave them such a hard time and you really weren't self-donative.
And in this case, you might even take some build on that and say, you know what, since you weren't willing to do what I asked you to do and you preferred to do everything that you wanted to do except what I was asking, for the rest of the evening, we're going to have listening and respecting mom practice where all the things that you wanted to do are off the board. Now the rest of the evening, you're mine.
Yeah.
And you're going to do what I ask you to do.
Yeah, and that's definitely the way to handle it with the kids when they're giving you guff about this. With your husband, it's really talking about respect for you, and also respect for the fact that you're trying to raise your kids to be healthy, happy adults, and that doing this kind of thing will really give the kids a leg up on them.
Hopefully that'll give you some tips moving forward. If we can help you out more, don't hesitate to reach out to us at moretoliferadio.com. Well, as we head out, our last More to Life hack is celebrating successes. You know, when a team wins a game, they don't just shrug and move on to the next set of drills. They celebrate. Make sure you're punctuating family chore time and other activities that are hard work by playing a short game, making a favorite meal, or having a movie night. You know, regardless of how you do it, celebrating successes sends the powerful message that when you all work together and take care of each other, everybody wins. And if you'd like more tips on how you can create family togetherness, check out the resources we have for you at moretoliferadio.com. Check out the books, podcasts, and most importantly, the telephone counseling practice where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more at the website, moretoliferadio.com, or call us up at 740-266-6461 to make an appointment to speak with a counselor. That's 740-266-6461. We'll be here tomorrow taking your calls, but remember, folks, in the meantime, there is so much more to life. Get out there and celebrate the life you were meant to live. God bless. Have a great day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
When a kid loses a tooth, it's exciting. But an adult has some serious decisions that needs a caring, faithful, and family-oriented dentist like Dr. Maddie with Advanced Dentistry Center. Here's what Dr. Maddie says to those that are deciding between bridges and implants.
While bridges only last 8 to 10 years and damage adjacent teeth, implants last up to 30 years and help prevent